This is Brian Azzarello. I write comics, and you're listening to Radio Cafe. Hey, thanks for having me.
Are you okay? Are you tired? No. Did you meet a lot of fans now?
A lot of fans. This being my first time in Budapest, and the second comic show. So, yes, there were a lot of fans.
Let's get into the middle. So, what do you think about the connection of sexism and comics?
Well, that came out of nowhere. In superhero comics, it's kind of impossible to avoid. It's there. I mean, how can it not be? Look at the way they dress.
That's what I talk about.
Yeah.
You never really see a fat Wonder Woman, for instance.
Well, Wonder Woman's not fat.
She can be.
No, she's a goddess. She can't be. But there are other characters that could be, but they're not. You know, but who wants to in superhero comic books anyway? There really aren't any overweight superheroes, male or female.
Everywhere you go, everybody talks about be yourself, love your body. But there is one part. Films talk about this. Literature talks about this. Comics, they don't really care about what really happens around us.
I think film, I would argue with the film and TV is that way as well. I mean, the people that are telling you to love yourself, respect yourself, you know, accept yourself, they're beautiful people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, easy for you to say. And you know, in that regard also, like the film, the superhero films, they're very sculpted individuals.
When you write a story, what is your main intention and where the inspiration starts from?
Well, okay, my main intention is not one that is you necessarily need to see or to know. The main intention that, the secondary intention, which is really the main intention, is to entertain, you know? But that's not why I do it. I mean, I do have something to say when I'm writing these stories. You don't necessarily need to know it when I'm doing it. Definitely not when you pick the book up, because if I tell you, for example, I did a book called Moonshine, which is really about, you know, addiction and alcoholism. Who wants to read that? They want to read about gangsters and werewolves, so that's what I'm selling it as, you know? So, again, it's like, you know, my main intention, this is what I'm writing about. But what you're seeing, it's like, oh, it's gangsters and werewolves. I love it.
What do you think about the changes in the world? Do they affect the comics? What happened today?
What happened today? I don't know. I'm asking you.
I didn't even care about
that. The world, the damn thing changes every day.
Yeah. Did it affect the comics?
Yes. And I'm not sure it always affects it for the... I think when you get a little bit too specific, time specific with some of these stories, they don't age well, you know?
But which that's is good. Which is good because people want to read them for this reason.
Yeah, but I mean, it's also like film and novels for that kind of, you know, for that matter. Like when you're really dealing with a specific time that's happening right, you know, the 6 months after 9/11, you're writing stories about 9/11. Are those stories really relevant anymore? Mm. You know what I mean? It's like, do they age? Is there enough time there, you know, to have perspective? You know, I could write a story right now about the war in Ukraine. From my perspective, it is not anything near what someone else's perspective
right,
would be,
right.
You know?
But are you motivated to write such stories?
Sometimes. Like I said, sometimes I really think, like, time, we need perspective. Mm. You know, you get a better perspective with some time. I brought up 9/11. There were some comics about 9/11 that came out. I did a very short piece in one of them. I think it holds up. I know some of the other stories don't hold up, you know. How do you put a character like Spider-Man or Superman in that? It cheapens the characters, it weakens the characters, and it also dilutes the situation.
Right.
You know, what does Superman have to say about the World Trade Centers being destroyed? Yeah. He wasn't there. And it's like, it just sort of points out that, like, this is a, this character's fiction, you know, and there's nothing that could have been done to stop that.
Did you ever censor yourself?
I think we all do.
During writing?
Censor's the wrong word.
Filter.
Filter, better word. Yeah, because censorship, I think that word gets used too much. I don't think, like, for example, if DC Comics tells me you can't do that with Superman, they, you know, they own that character. Them telling me I can't do it, that's not censorship.
Right.
You know, that's their property.
Yeah. But my question is more about the moral limit. If you think about a story, you just came up with the Ukrainian war. You came up with 9/11. These are strongly affecting the people. Is there any moral limit when you say, okay, now I can touch the story?
If there is, like, any sort of self-filtering, it's, I won't, I kind of know what I can get away with and what I can't get away with. Especially dealing with some of the, like, the company-owned characters, I definitely do. But also in stuff that I own, I know how far to go with stuff, you know? And I know when I'm, something I'm doing is like, well, that's going to get some people's noses out of joint. Let's see what happens. You don't want the, or at least I don't want a little specific part of a story to completely eclipse the rest of the story. That it, you know, that becomes the talking point and not the whole story. Yeah. So, you know, that's where the filtering comes in.
We cannot avoid AI. And I was asking many people about AI, people from the creative sector,
mm-hmm.
people from literature, people from government. So everybody talks differently about AI. What do you think about AI if it affects the comic story writing?
I think it'll have a quicker effect on the art of comics than it will on the stories, the writers. I think that if, you know, one of the big things about comics is it comes out, the superhero comics, they all come out monthly. So there's a deadline. And a lot of guys can't make that deadline.
They use it?
Well, I mean, no, if it's AI, you just write the story, you put it in, and it'll generate the art in a day or less.
But does anybody do it?
Not yet, but they will. I mean, they will.
I see something in your eyes.
No. Well, what I know is that if they can do it quicker, if companies can do anything quicker and cheaper, they'll do it. That's doesn't matter what it is. If they can use robots to build a car rather than a person, they'll use the robots. I mean, that's there already.
Yeah, but I think creativity is more about human being.
Really? Have you seen any of these films that have been coming out from Hollywood lately? I mean, it's a formula.
Yeah, that's
you know,
still,
that's, I mean, no wonder
made
these...
made by humans.
Well, I mean, they're made by a human, but it's the studio says, I need a story about, you know, I need a rom-com where, you know, X meets Y, you know, in a florist shop. One of them's got a friend. I'm just like plugging in these things that they can say, and the AI can do it. No wonder the screenwriters are on strike. They should be worried. Yeah. And it's not because they themselves are not being creative. It's because the studios aren't being creative. You know, the studios want, I don't know, they want this, they want something that did well before. How often do we get to see something like Brand New?
Yeah.
You know, not very often.
Are you worried about that?
No, I mean, but I think my time on this earth is limited. I think it'll be over by, you know.
But if you were like 30 years younger?
30 years younger, I probably would be worried. Yeah.
So now you did your stuff. Now you're okay.
I mean, I'm kind of done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the back nine. I would definitely be worried if I were younger. Or I would be trying to figure out how to use this to my benefit.
Over decades, you wrote many, many stories. I don't know if you ever counted it.
No, I haven't.
Is there anything that you didn't write yet and you still want to get out?
Yes, there is.
Yeah. Did you share it with me?
Well, no, I have to write it. That's how I would. Yes, I will. I will share it with you, but not right here.
Okay. Is it happening in Budapest? Or because I just heard that you love Budapest so much that your next story will be about Budapest, or at least it will happen here.
There is a story that will be. Yes, I'm working with a French publisher. The story was not going to take place in Budapest. Then I was here, and it's like, you know, this story could happen here. And I met with the French publisher. The artist happens to be Hungarian, and it's like, you know, this place would be good for the story. So it's not, I mean, it's not one of those, it's character-driven. It's not really plot-driven, so you can put it anywhere.
But now you love Budapest so much, and then you can imagine that your characters are finding a good home in Budapest.
Well, yeah, now it gives me a good reason to come back. And, you know, it's a tax write-off because I'm working. So
thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
And enjoy Budapest.
I have.